Overcoming your common weight loss blocks. Look at me, just in my no BS shirt, my Peloton bike. Everyone faces challenges on their weight loss. Most of the blocks, though, are going to be in our heads, like our negative thoughts. Like, I've got such a long commute. If I plan it, I should be able to eat it. Or some of the blocks are going to be in our hearts. It's going to be like our emotions that trigger us to eat when we're not hungry. So emotions would be like feeling, let's say you're eating at night and you work all day and you have kids. And then when you get home, you have to spend time like, you know, cleaning and everything. And you never feel like you get enough time with your kids. And so you feel really guilty. And so a lot of times we're eating over guilt. We're eating over those kinds of things. What we want to do is we want to learn how to spot and change how our mental and emotional blocks are showing up so that we can lose our weight for good. The more emotional and mental blocks that we can overcome, the easier it is to keep our weight off and the easier it is to lose it. So silencing the inner critic. In no BS, we call the inner critic Old Chitty. And he looks just like this. The inner critic is very sneaky and the inner critic feels very true. So I don't want anyone to feel weird because their brain acts like an asshole. And everything that your brain says is going to feel like the gospel, all the gospels, as if God etched your old shitties on a tombstone and brought it down from the mountain and handed it to you. So inner critic feels like this, sounds like this. You never stick to your plans. Well, if you were constantly breaking your plans, that would feel very true, except that's an asshole way to say it. The inner critic might say you'll never lose weight because you've never been able to do it before. It feels very true. If you wanted to, you could come on a call and be like, Corinne, let me show you. In 1995, I weighed X, and in 1996, I weighed X. Like, so many of us will argue for our shitty truths that feel terrible. And what I want to offer you is every shitty thought has another thought that will be equally as true. And the more we get good at telling ourselves both sides of the story, the easier it is for you to feel better, do better, and lose weight. So negative self-talk is almost always when you're hearing things, is very exaggerated. It's usually not based in tons and tons of facts. But it's important to notice when we're doing it so we can change it. So we have to know when we're basically being an asshole to ourselves in our own brain. So the quickest fix of all for an inner critic, for old shitty, is to pay attention to the times when you're putting yourself down. So anytime you're saying something jackass to yourself, you'll never lose weight. Instead of trying to come up with an alternate thought and all this other stuff, you just say, yeah, I think that a lot, and this is not helpful. Now, if we can disprove it, like if you say you've never been able to lose weight before, most of you have actually been able to lose weight before. The truth is that, oh, I absolutely can lose weight. I haven't learned how to keep it off. Or I can lose weight, but I've never done it in a way that's sustainable. That's true too. It's very rare anybody's joined an OBS and they've never lost any weight. Most of us are repeat offenders of weight loss school. So the quickest fix of all, everyone write it down, is anytime I'm being an asshole to myself, is to say, that's harsh inner critic. That's this kind of talk. And this isn't helpful. And then if you know that there's an alternate truth, you can just simply tell yourself, it's also not 100% true. You don't even have to tell yourself the new thought that is true. You can just say, because a lot of you are going to do, my newer people, you will not be doing this until you get into month two. But for everybody that's been here a minute, you know how to like journal, poke holes in your thoughts. And if you do that work, then you owe it to yourself to, in the moments your old thoughts come up, you don't even have to tell yourself the new one. You can just trust. At one point, I was journaling on this, and I knew this thought wasn't 100% true. And you can give yourself that gift in that moment to create immediate relief. The long-term fix is discovering, like, where did the inner critic start? We do a lot of that in our coaching calls. So we do a lot. If you went to the Think It, Shrink It camp, we did a lot of work there. We have courses inside of No BS that once you get past your first 30 days, you start opening up other courses. We do a lot of work there. We practice long-term is equal airtime. So if you have journaled and you have another thought, just like when I was coaching Deanna about her 80 pounds being down in the next 10, she was like, well, how do you use that reasoning brain? Equal airtime is where we call upon the new thought that feels equally as true as the old one. We say it on purpose at the end. You might say, I've never been able to lose weight, but every success story had never succeeded until the last time either. I've never been able to lose weight, and this time I'm trying a new way. Let's see what happens. So using things like but and in between an old inner critic type thought with something else is called equal airtime. You also can do the self-love journaling workbook. So for all of you who need to work more on the inner critic, if you will go to Pathways, for all my new people, you get this after 30 days. But if you go to Pathways, you can go through the diet thinking path where I will help you break your diet thinking. And then we will move into self-love and relationships and such. And then we also have the four N's, which is at the very first lesson in the diet thinking path, which for, again, for newbies, that will all start after your first 30 days. Because all I really want you doing is the four basics, paying attention to, like, oh, sometimes I talk to myself like an asshole. That's okay. I'm going to unlearn that later. It's just not helpful right now. Moving on. If you only did that for 30 days, you would feel at least 50% better in your life. Save it versus fuck it. You can't lose weight blowing mistakes out of proportion. None of you need to be fucking up the day when you can still save it. None of you. It literally makes no intellectual sense, and yet we do it. We make a mistake, we overeat, we eat off plan, and the next thing you know, we're eating our, it's like, well, I fucking blew it. I might as well. This is where you got to start paying attention. In the moment your brain starts being an inner critic and says, you might as well just eat all the things and get out of your system, that is the moment you have to say, like, nope, not doing that. Overeating, overeating definitely doesn't equal weight loss. That is the new power thought for you, because that intellectually is true. Think about it. You may be full of shame and you may feel really bad that you screwed up, but you're not eating because of that. You're eating because you're shaming yourself and you're trying to silence that version of you. So that's why we go into fuck it mode. Because if I just keep eating, I don't have to listen to the barrage of horseshit that my brain has given me. What I would rather you do is get really good at hearing the barrage of bullshit and saying, it makes no sense to overeat when you've overate. That doesn't help. In fact, if I only made this mistake, I bet long term I can lose weight quite easily. I asked this question to somebody the other day. I said, just imagine because fuck it eating was her biggest problem. I said, let's just imagine if all you had done is your normal overeating for the last 6 months and you never once fuck it ate over it, what would have happened? And she would have like, oh, I would have for sure lost weight. I was like, yeah. So the problem isn't the overeats. The problem is the exaggerating them. drawing them out, making them bigger than they need to be. So it's hard to do that, but it's not impossible. I just want you to remember that individual foods, they can't sabotage your weight loss, but a fuck it moment definitely will. You cannot lose weight holding on to black and white thinking, good food, bad food mentality, I'm on or off track, I'm good or I'm bad. It doesn't work. So we want to unwind that. So here's the quick fix for that one. Stop eating extra food when you eat extra food. That's it. Most of you will lose weight if you just fast on the fuck it eating. If you're going to do a fast, fast on fuck it eating. Long-term fix. Identify the triggers causing your overeating and develop some coping strategies. That is inside of the No BS course. We have a whole worksheet called the Fuck It Foods Worksheet, and we have classes on it. Once you get past your first 30 days, you will be able to search Fuck It Foods Worksheet, and we have classes where we have gone through. You eat one of your favorite fuck it foods in a very controlled manner. Rewire your good food, bad food mentality. We've started the groundwork on that with your plan today. Develop safety around foods you love but are afraid to eat. Developing safety just means I am going to start eating some of the foods that I've always said I couldn't, but I'm going to plan them. This is not a free-for-all. Like, I'm literally going to plan them ahead of time. I don't get to eat them when I'm not hungry. I'm not going to be eating them past enough, and I don't get to eat them whenever I want. We get to eat the foods we want, but we're not eating them whenever we want. There's a big difference there. Let me say it again. We're going to lose weight eating the foods we want, but that does not mean I get to eat them whenever I want. You get to plan the foods you want, but you do not get to eat however much you want. Very different. Planning your foods is important. Including foods you love is important. But at the end of the day, the golden rule is we do not eat when we're not hungry. We stop it enough. When you are practicing those two things, the rest of it falls in line quite easily. And then a lack of self-care is the other thing. So most emotional eating stems from a lack of self-care. This is the biggest thing for most women. We only have one way to take a break. We only have one way to unwind. We only have one way to relieve our guilt. We only have one way to connect with others or have fun. And it is with food. And there are three types of self-care that you need to know about, because a lot of you think you don't have time for self-care or that it will punish someone, all the things. There are three types: unseen self-care, barely seen self-care, and big shit self-care. Unseen self-care is when we are pivoting your self-talk, when you're being hard on yourself. So a lot of times people are like, I don't have time for self-care. I'm like, you don't need time, because the best self-care is the type you give yourself internally. When we catch ourselves worrying, allowing ourselves to stop worrying, saying like, if I can't solve this, if there's nothing that I can do about this, there's no reason to worry about this. I have a couple of podcasts called Worry Bucket and Worry Bucket 2.0 on my public podcast that could be very helpful to any of you if you're a chronic worrier, where you schedule time to worry. I did it with Kathy Hartman years ago, and it's very helpful. It's like, you know what? If I, rather than being a runaway freight train of worry, then I'm going to worry on purpose. It will be between 4 and 4:20 every day. And I get to just let my brain go, you know, all full hog on all my worries and all my stresses. And during that time, I'm not going to eat. But when worry time is over, if I don't have a solution, if there's nothing that I can do, then I need to tell myself, every time you try to think about it, we need to stop and think about something else. We've already agreed that we have worry time and that there's nothing we can do about it right now. Also give you exercises in that, those podcasts for how to make a list that, well, I'll just tell you real quick. There was a group of kids that were in like a juvenile detention facility that they did this with, who had very terrible upbringings. They were in the system, all kinds of stuff, just awful, brutal things. And they worried a lot. And what they did is like, they would worry about like their drug addict mom that was, you know, like now they're, you know, they've gotten arrested for stealing or something. And they were the only ones that took care of their mother. And now she's on the streets doing drugs. So they took these kids who had this chronic worry that drove their anxiety, and they had them make a list. You list your worry, and then next to it, you have these three columns. Like this worry, do I have no control, some control, or all of the control? And you check the box for each one. So like some situations, if I'm sitting in jail and my mama is out on the streets doing drugs, I have zero control over that. Anything that I don't have control over, I no longer worry about it. I can feel bad about it, but I'm not going to worry about it. So that means that every time I try to worry about it, I need to remind myself, hey, this is one of those things, this right now is out of our control. But what they found was that as they did the exercise, the kids found that there were small things that they could do. A lot of their worries, there was actually stuff they could be doing to make it better, but they didn't see it because they were always worrying. Some stuff they found, there were things they absolutely could do. They just didn't want to. They were afraid to do things. And they couldn't see that because they were always worrying. So for all of you, I want you to think about this. Doing that when you're a chronic worrier is a version of self-care. It allows you to see stuff. And then if you see something that you absolutely could do something about it, but you're just worried about the outcome, worrying it won't work or whatever, but there are things you can do, you can take that to ask coaches now. And you can actually get help instead of just worrying. That's self-care. Also, some of the unseen self-care is noticing your fears and questioning them. Is it even true that this might come true? Is this even worth considering? Is this something I should do anyway? See what will happen. See if my fear even comes true. Then make my decision if it was a good decision or not. Then we have what's called barely seen self-care, which is sitting in your car for 2 minutes before you head into the house to decompress. Go into the bathroom at work for 10 minutes to regroup when everybody's acting like a teetotal clam. Letting go of some perfectionistic household expectations just so you can get a little bit more downtime. That's the barely seen self-care that we can do. And then there's the big shit self-care that most of us think about. Talking to people about needing help. Getting a hotel room for a night so you can get some uninterrupted sleep. We did that once when Logan was little, because he never slept. Like literally for 18 months, he never slept. And I was so fucking tired. Finally, Chris, there was just like this little bum hotel down the road. I was like, we didn't have much money. I was like, I don't care. I'll stay anywhere. I'd stayed worse in my career in my 20s working for a restaurant company. And he just got me a room for the night so I could just sleep. I just needed it. For some of you, it's your big shit is coming to our camps. You love coming to our camps. This is like your yearly girl trip. I mean, how many of you in the chat are coming in person this year? We opened up more spots this year so that we could have more of you come, because y'all beating down the doors all the time. But coming to Nashville and being surrounded by your Nobius women and working on you and taking time out just for you, that's big shit self-care. Massages and manis, of course. Hiring some help, like maybe you want to get a trainer, a house cleaner, or a babysitter. Saying no to PTA parties and people, because being tired is not lazy. It's a health concern. None of you have to earn rest. You get to rest because you're a fucking human. So the quick fix is to find some small moments you can give yourself right now that won't burden you or anyone else. For some of you, it's really hard to put you back on the list. The first way to put yourself back on the list is the little moments, the moments inside your head, the little things that I talked about. Until you realize you're not going to burden other people, until you realize you're not being selfish, until you realize you have nothing to feel guilty about. The long-term fix is to debunk your thoughts about being lazy and selfish when it comes to self-care. The long-term fix is to talk to loved ones about what you really need and how you're going to need some help. That is not weakness. That is making your life better and probably everyone else's around it. Learn how to establish boundaries within yourself and with others. The first line of defense and boundaries is always the boundaries you set with you. What you tolerate. If people are talking like assholes and I'm in the room, guess what Kryn does? She does not argue with people. She leaves. I'm not going to set boundaries as to how people are going to talk and behave around me. I'm going to set a boundary with myself because it's a lot easier to control me than it is to control other people. I'm leaving. They can just miss my fucking company. You can take the relationships course inside NoBS to help develop a better relationship with yourself and with some others. You can also use our self-care journaling workbook. We have a whole self-care thing that you can do. All right, so here's how change works for all of you. We quit too soon when losing weight. Not knowing how change works leads to giving up when things are actually working as they're supposed to. This is just the phases of change. And because we're short on time, rather than me doing it all over again, this is in module one of NoBS for all of you. Because I'd like to coach one more person and get through the questions. Go through the phases of change. For all of you who suffer from perfectionism, all or nothing thinking you're supposed to come to this workshop and somehow in the next 12 weeks be perfect, never make a mistake, you better be listening to this lesson. It is the last lesson of module one of NoBS. Make sure you go through it because these phases will show you that there's never a perfect phase. I'm trying to find the last one. Phase four is called mastery. And that means 80% of the time you're cranking along and 20% of the time you're still human and you have bad days. And sometimes you cope with food. You forget to do something because you got busy. That's just normal. That's not a bad thing. And we can overcome all of it. Somebody's like, what? I'm not going to be perfect for 12 weeks. You sure ain't. Ain't none of us going to be. Mastery is not about perfectionism. Mastery means you know what to do when you aren't doing it. And you get back on track without making it a big fucking deal, without needing to judge harshly yourself, and without needing to fuck it eat to do it. So the quick fix, you need to remind yourself that change takes time. And that you're not perfect. None of us are. And we're never going to be perfect. The long-term fix, reach out to the NoBS coaches for help with your mindset and tactics. Use Ask Coaches. Use discovery worksheets to learn and move on versus catastrophizing mistakes. Take the self-sabotage course. That can happen for you after the first 30 days. And ask yourself, what am I telling myself right now that is making this overeat or mistake worse than it is? It's always a great question. All right. So I want y'all to do the worksheet. We're actually, our last person we want to get coached is not here. So I'm going to answer questions. Y'all do the worksheet and we will close out for the day with MJ. She is going to, I believe, if you'll tell me, I think MJ is taking the newbies through their first 30 days just to make sure all your questions are answered about being a new member and such. All right, let me stop the share. So page 22 and 24, make sure you overcome your weight loss obstacles and put any questions in the Q&A. I'm going to fly through as many as I can. I find rewards a challenge sometimes. Say, like Corinne's example, I get to listen to a favorite podcast as a reward for going for a walk. But then if I don't go for a walk, it's almost like I'm punishing myself by not letting myself listen to something I enjoy. Thoughts. Well, you can listen to it. I mean, you don't have to punish yourself. If you decide to not go on the walk, just listen to the podcast and just tell yourself, today's a day I'm not going on the walk. Here's the big thing. I would just ask myself, why am I not going on this walk? Sometimes we don't go on walks for really good reasons. We are busy. We ran out of time. Like, I'm still trying to decide if I'm going to do my leg day today. If I was going to do my leg day, let's say that today's leg day, and my reward is I have got the best Ass Jams playlist on the planet, which Corinne has great Ass Jam playlists. And I listen to it when I do leg day. But today is like one of those days where it's like, you know, you got your walk in this morning. I'm pretty tired. I'll be honest. I've been going nonstop since we started. Never took a pee break. And I really wanted to listen to Ash Jams. I would just be like, you really have a good reason to not do it today. So just listen to your music. So don't punish yourself. Or you could also tell yourself, hey, this is saved only for walking days. Not listening to the podcast, if it feels like a punishment, it's because you're telling yourself you're taking it away. Instead of saying, I look forward to these podcasts and they're highly motivating to take walks. So if I'm not walking, I want to save it so I can be highly motivated. You could also do that, and that wouldn't sound as punishing. So whichever way you want to do it, Shelley. I live in a legal cannabis state and enjoy marijuana, but let's face it, munchies are real. Or are they? Is weight loss harder for stoners? So we travel to a cannabis state very often. If you all know, we go to Vegas all the time. My husband, I cannot smoke shit, y'all. I can't, like, growing up. First of all, I swore I'd never smoke anyway because I hated cigarette smoke when I was little. Just, ugh. And every time I ever tried to smoke, like, it was almost like a rite of passage in my family. Everybody smoked but me. I just choke. Well, I have tried. I'm just being real honest. I'm not a prude. I'm not going to, like, pretend I'm, you know, whatever. I tried to smoke pot in my days. I tried in my 20s when it was just like my brother would get some skunk weed, by the way. If JoJo's listening, he knows. It was harsh stuff. But now you can get good stuff, legal, and all the things. I have tried. I cannot do it. I literally sound like I'm going into a TB ward every single time. So I don't do it. But my husband, on the other hand, does. Guess what he does? No munchies. You know why? He doesn't tell himself he gets munchies. You know what he tells himself? I'm going to smoke weed for fun and not eat over it. Like, if it does cause a munchie, fine. You still could say no. I bet if you, like, let's ask you this, Aaron. If you came to my house and you and Chris were smoking weed like bandits, y'all are just in the living room, just let's go. And I'm sitting there with you all night. Would you run to my pantry and be like, I have to eat? Or would you, even in your stoned ass state, be able to say, think I'll not? If you could manage it, then that means you could manage it. And I'm just going to say, Chris Crabtree ain't got no shame in his game, but I will beg all of you to do this. If you ever run into his mother, please don't tell her or my son. Actually, our son might actually know. He may know about it, but his mother would die. So we don't tell Nana. What happens in Nobius stays in Nobius. All right. How do you address people's questions of why you left? Why I left what? Oh, when, like, if I leave the room, well, I don't just, like, blaze out, like, you know, peace out, bitches. Like, I don't, like, do that. But if they're talking about stuff, whatever, sometimes I'll say, like, hey, y'all, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Sometimes I'll say, like, hey, I'm going to go to the other room. I'm not feeling well. I mean, just whatever. Sometimes I just start elbowing Chris and saying, like, I don't, like, this is no good. I think we should just go home. And we just tell them, like, hey, Corinne is, like, tired. I've told people before, y'all know me. I'm like, I always tell people, I am an old lady all the way. And I get tired. And I honestly, a long time ago, just like, even when I go places with our friends, and like, we are planning a trip, we are going to Vegas next month. And I'm sure Chris will smoke weed, just for all of my stoners out there. But we're going with our friends, and who don't smoke the weed? It's more of a Chris thing. But we were all talking about what we were going to do and all this other stuff. And they're staying in a different hotel than we are. And they said, and this is her first 50th birthday. And they were like, we know you don't like to go out and leave the hotel. So we can come down there for dinner. Like, I've just made it really clear with everyone in my life, like, hey, this is what I like. This is who I am and stuff. And because I like to be surrounded by people who like me as I am. Now, do you know what that also means, y'all? I don't have very many friends. Most people don't want a friend that wants to do what they want to do. Most people don't want to hang out with someone who will not leave their hotel room after 7, 8 o'clock at night, or their house, who won't drive across town to go out to eat with them. All of my real friends know what I'm willing to do because I've just been honest, and it has cost me relationships, and I'm okay with that. And it was not ugly. It was not like we didn't have to have a fight or nothing. They just quit calling, and I did too. But I just decided a long time ago, what I want in my life, the easiest way for me to keep my weight loss off, the easiest way for me to not emotionally eat, is to take care of my needs. Like, this goes into self-care. Part of Corinne's self-care is I don't wear myself out trying to be friends with too many people, especially people who want to do things I don't want to do, that I don't enjoy doing. So it's just like one of those things where I think we just all have to, like, when you're thinking about your next 12 weeks, these may be some of the things that you want to be considering, like, as part of your plan. It's like, am I saying, like, should maybe I put on my plan for 1 week to reach out to one person in my life that I've been pretending around? And I've been saying a lot of yeses to things I don't particularly like, and just tell them, like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I know we usually do this thing together or whatever. I'm not enjoying it as much as I used to. Could we find something else to do? Or just next time they invite you to something, you're just like, no. And if they ask why, you can just simply say, you know, I just don't want to go, but I love you. Sometimes the best things that we can put on our weight loss plan is being truthful with people, saying no to some things that are going to be hard for us. Because I want you to think about it. How many times have you overate because you were dreading doing something? You regretted saying yes to something. And all the way there, you were eating. We stop doing that. We take away a lot of overeats, and that's root cause. Now, a lot of this stuff is very doable. Some of this stuff doesn't feel doable yet when you're newer. That's why we do coaching and no BS. So after your first 30 days, you come to coaching calls, and we coach on stuff like this. You can go to ask coaches and be like, Corinne's talking about this stuff. And like, how do I do this? They will help you with that. I want to read this one comment. Oh, I don't know where it went. Shoot. It went to, y'all type so fast and, well, never mind. I can't get it. There was something I wanted to see, but I can't do it. What is your quick fix when you are feeling overwhelmed or anxious? Breathing. That is the best quick fix to anxiousness and overwhelm, is to don't try to outthink it. Don't try to change your thoughts. But it's literally to, like, with anxiousness, it is to breathe. And, like, you can look up box breathing, but its first line of defense with anxiety is to calm your nervous system down first. When you get done with your first 30 days, if you go through the breaking diet thinking path, one of the lessons will teach you something called the now process. That's also another way. We have a trusting your body course inside the program that's got some tapping techniques and stuff that you can also try. But I think the easiest, best one is when you have anxiety is to, one thing I do is I do some deep breathing and I put my hand over my heart and I pat it as if keeping it safe. And I say, you're okay. You're safe. Because I emotionally don't feel safe. But a lot of times there's an intellectual little piece of you that knows I'm not actually in any physical danger. So sometimes what we have to do is we have to remind ourselves, I am physically okay. Maybe you're emotionally not, but sometimes we're like, you know, and this is the thing. If you're physically not okay, you want anxiety. That's when we want anxiety because its job is to get us out of there. But short of that, we want to calm ourselves down. With overwhelm, there's a different fix for that. For overwhelm, the quick fix would be do one small action. So when we're over, like we look at our list and we're like, oh my God, I got so much to do. Blah, 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 blah. You do, can I just, and you think about one thing on your list that you can just do a little piece, because once you get into motion, overwhelm starts going down automatically. Let's see. All right. I'm going to turn it is MJ here. There's Coach MJ. I'm going to turn this over to MJ. For those of you who had questions in the chat, Betsy will continue to answer the questions over there. MJ is coming on. She is now going to take all of the new members through your first third. Like, this is literally just a down and dirty of like the first 30 days as a, like a, just a reminder, not another class. We're not going to give you lots more work to do. It's literally just to settle your nerves and get you focused. For everybody else, y'all, Workshop 2024 is officially closed and dismissed. Y'all can have an amazing rest of your day. For all the people who've been here for more than 30 days, we will have coaching as usual tomorrow. So you can come back for coaching. New members, once you're past your 30 days, you'll get invited to Sunday coaching with me. And with that, MJ, it's all yours.